sports.com basketball podcast, otherwise known as the Pick and Troll podcast, working title. I'm your host, Zach Harper. On the Skype line, I don't have Matt Moore today. I've got Danny Nowell from Portland Roundball Society and famed North Carolina basketball fan. Danny, how's it going?
It's going well, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you are, you're new in Portland. How's that going? Newish.
It's good. It's good. It's been, Portland is a weird place to move to, but I'm finally, I mean, I think I'm getting up to speed. I will always be transplant in Portland.
Yeah, you're probably just kind of like you're accepted, but they keep an eye on you, right?
Not even really accepted.
Oh no.
Well, I mean, you know, like suspicious. It's like those Lifetime movies where you move to Maine and for 30 years everyone still refers to you as like the newcomer.
Right. Right. So how's Portland Trailblazers basketball treating you?
It's good. I sort of regret how doom and gloom I was about the team before the season. I mean, there's I think some really glaring flaws have emerged, but I am enjoying the heck out of watching them.
Is it something where you didn't expect Nicholas Batum or Wes Matthews, or what didn't you expect that is happening right now?
It's Batum. I thought Batum was didn't really have too much room for improvement, to be honest with you. I thought that he was not going to be worth his contract. He's always been a nice player, but I didn't see this.
Sure, yeah. Is it simply the shackles of Nate McMillan's system where, hey, if you can't isolate and score, just go stand in the corner? Is that what has opened him up? Is that Terry Stotts is actually moving him around and trusting him to do stuff?
I think that that's a big part of it. I think like so much of his game is, I hesitate to make this comparison because it's so lazy and I don't really mean it about his Europeanness.
Right.
He plays like a soccer player.
Okay.
In that space is really his most valuable. Like he sort of plays for space the way, you always used to hear, like Jason Kidd does. I mean, he's taking guys to space, not to make passes or whatever the way a point guard does, but he sees that as like the objective of a play. It's fascinating to watch.
Is it something where he just strictly needed space, or does having Damian Lillard as a point guard as opposed to a, let's say, plump Raymond Felton, maybe that's changed things a little bit for him.
You know, Lillard, I'm sure he helps, but he's like a really direct point guard. He's really good at taking what's there, and he's not super creative beyond that at this point in his career. So I think a lot more has to do with the fact that Nick has a lot of room to run, and he hasn't really been encouraged to defer to anybody. It's such a different dynamic for him. I think he's a lot more comfortable.
Speaking of Lillard, he is really direct. That's a great way of putting it, because there isn't a lot of flash. It's not a lot of, oh, I'm going to cross you over three times and then take a pull-up jumper. It's kind of just, let me get around the screen here and I'm going to pull up off one dribble.
Yeah.
What's it like watching him from I mean, you're not really a fan's perspective, but you're very close with the team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's really interesting because he, I mean, personality-wise, you can't read 15 words in Portland local media without reading the word poise about him.
Right.
His poise is almost startling. Like, if poise means that I'm not sure that he cares about anything, he's the most even-keeled temperament that you could just about ever interview.
I don't know that you could say he doesn't care about anything. He's been retweeting Young Jeezy all morning.
Well, Buffalo Wild Wings. We're not Buffalo Wild Wings, but Wingstop. He is always about to crush some wings. but that's totally, he's fascinating to me. He's fascinating to watch. He is one of the most, he's a total gunner at times.
Yeah.
But he never seems amped. Like, it's never a momentum shot. It's always just, I don't see any reason not to take this.
Yeah, there is a calmness to his game, and he had a pretty bad shooting night last night after really being on a great roll. But it's not the offense that has really caught your attention so much. Talk about him defensively.
All right, I need to preface this by saying I really like Damian Lillard.
You need to preface this by asking people from Portland not to burn down your place.
Please don't. I'm not going to pull a Raymond Felton and give out my address. I don't keep it 100. Don't pick up.
Right around 62. That's where you keep it. Right around 62.
The possibility exists that I could score 15 points on Damian Lillard.
Really?
Now, he's the worst defensive point guard probably in the league right now. I don't know whether that's true. I don't know whether it's true that he's the worst defensive point guard in the league, but he's bad. Ooh, he's bad. And I don't – he's 22?
Yeah.
And he's not very tall, and he's not super fast. You know, rookie point guards are always bad at defense. And there's, you know, some of our mutual acquaintances in our little Twitter sphere like to pound the idea that point guard defense doesn't matter.
Sure. I don't agree.
That's pretty hard to believe when you watch Brandon Knight torch the Portland Trail Blazers.
Hey, to be fair, Brandon Knight's had like 8 good games in the last year and a half.
Yeah. So like there was maybe, I think, like a 12.5% chance of it happening against just decent defense, and maybe a 70% chance of it happening with Damian Lillard lined up.
Do you think it's a problem moving forward in the next couple of years, or do you think it's strictly a he's a rookie, he'll eventually get it kind of thing?
I think he's probably always going to be like a minus-ish.
Yeah.
And they certainly don't have players behind him right now to account for that. I don't think it won't alter the team's plans in any way, you know?
Like, yeah.
He's more than enough, but, I don't know. I'm not super optimistic that he's going to really get it.
I guess if he is, I mean, he's always going to be a plus in the sense that his offense is probably always going to be better than his defense. I guess I wonder how many pluses does he have to be if he's going to be a bad defender? You know, does he need to drop 25 points every night to make it worth it, or is it really more on the team than just him?
It's just gonna have to be more on the team. I mean, right now Myers Leonard is a bad post defender, yeah. But he has every attribute that you would think he would be a really good backline defender of the future. Damian Lillard is really strong. So, like, I used to say, and I think he's better than this now, but before he was drafted, I used to say good Jameer Nelson for Damian Lillard. That was my comparison.
Yeah.
Was good Jameer Nelson. And I don't really hate that in the sense that, like, Nelson does a really good job using his physicality to mitigate all of his other terrible deficiencies.
Right.
And I think he could get to that level, and I think that they have guys on the roster now who could probably make up a lot of the difference, but I don't think he's ever going to be, you know, you're not going to be probably the Boston Celtics with Damian Lillard as your point guard.
You bring up Myers Leonard, and he fascinated me during summer league and early on in the season. Like he's kind of a jerk, and I see a lot of Blake Griffin in him where if he makes a play, he kind of like puffs out his chest and he preens for the camera and everything. And I could actually, if he got a lot of minutes, he's athletic enough and I think talented enough to where he can make a lot of pretty good highlight plays. And then his attitude after them would turn him into really like an enemy for it. Like he's kind of got that Joakim Noah.
And he looks like an 11-year-old Abercrombie model.
He does. Yes.
So it would be like he's the guy with three names at your middle school that everyone hates.
Right.
John Arthur Green for me.
Oh, okay.
I'm back there right now.
Oh, wow. Do we need to go down a little therapy road for you?
No, I mean, he does. He definitely has that. And what's more is he has, like, the classic, you know, he has, like, the offensive moves that enrage fans, like a baby hook.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a way to score that everyone will want to discredit. Oh. If you have a good baby hook, like, look at Brook Lopez, that poor guy. Everyone hates him just because of a baby hook.
I think it's also because he just shouts constantly. He has no inside voice at all. Everything with him is a concert voice.
But I think Myers has really good heel potential.
Yeah, and I actually like that about him a lot. Is he makes it interesting from the sense that I think he'll get in a lot of fake skirmishes in the league because no one really fights anymore. And I think he'll be one of those guys that opponents fans just hate as he keeps going in his career.
I gotta tell you that I'm pretty high on Myers Leonard. and much higher than I was to start with. I think that he has the potential to be a really nice player.
How does he complement? I mean, they haven't had a lot of time together, but just stylistically, how do you think he'll complement LaMarcus Aldridge going forward?
Or you mean the power forward that LaMarcus Aldridge has traded for?
Well, sure, yeah.
Kawhi Leonard is good.
Yeah.
I like them together. They don't see as much of the floor together. It was, I don't know, maybe I'm trying to think back when I made a note about how much I was enjoying watching them. I think it was the big run in the Houston game, the second overtime game at the Rose Garden. Myers is not, his brain hasn't matured into his body. Like, he's not very good at capitalizing on his strength and his speed. But when it works, and it's usually when the game opens up and it's transition, because when everyone is just running, then he's really fast and he's really big and his instincts are nice. But you know, when the game gets into the half court, he's sort of still a liability.
Yeah, he's actually one of those guys, maybe more like Batum, where he needs to be in space to make, because he is so quick and he's so athletic, but his mind isn't there yet. If you could find him room to operate quickly without fear of a double team really getting to him, he could make a lot of productive plays for you.
Well, I was really, two games ago, I was just so pleased to see how he is starting to score, moving to the basket with the pick and roll. He has enough touch that when he gets a little space in that, like, 6 to 8 foot from the basket, you know, where it's kind of hard to throw in a floater or like a hook, and you know, there's a lot going on. He does that pretty well for how rudimentary so much of his game still is.
Yeah, but I do want to move on to other things other than the Blazers. But before, we've got to talk about the bench.
No, we don't.
No, we do, because that is like, I don't even know. I don't even think there's an analogy for how bad it is, because it's literally the worst thing I've ever seen.
It's like, it's so bad, and the reality of it. I mean, it's just we're all so numb here, Zach. It's like the winter. You just can't count on anything. You just can't. I mean, I guess it's better now that Myers can be counted on for some points. Will Barton, I think, is going to every so often show flashes.
Yeah.
But God, they're bad.
Is there a more, I mean, as a Timberwolves fan, I kind of know the answer to this already, but is there a more defeating entrance into a game than watching Sasha Pavlovich walk onto a court?
No, but I have to tell you that just because Sasha hate has become so meme-y here, that I've taken the, like, he's not that awful.
Oh, don't you do it. People in Minnesota did that with Darko.
No, I mean, like,
don't you do it.
Sasha Pavlovich starting, but he's not, like, what did he do to all of these basketball Twitter people?
You know what he did? He missed every shot and missed every defensive rotation he could make. That's what he did.
I mean, I get, but it's like, what would whoever, you know, what would Nolan Smith have done instead?
It doesn't matter. It wouldn't have sucked the life out of the game of basketball.
I don't understand this. I don't understand this. I just don't. How old is Sasha Pavlovich?
He could be anywhere from 20 to 68 years old, and it wouldn't shock me.
I guess it's just like, he doesn't, it just doesn't feel that deadening to me.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's completely dead inside, for one. That's for certain. I've used this analogy before for really bad things that I watch, and I think it applies here. Is I was once at the California State Fair, and I'm walking through this animal exhibit, and there's this big crowd around this, like, kind of stable area. I was like, all right, well, let's go see what's going on there. As soon as I walk up there, there's a cowboy, I guess. I don't know, or a farmhand or something, pulling a calf out of the mother. Like, it was a cow birth. And it was one of the most scarring moments of my life. Like, I still can't. I was 10, I think, 9 or 10 at the time. I can't get that out of my head, and I never will be able to. And that's what it feels like when Sasha checks in for your team. So maybe, you know, he hasn't been on all the teams, so it's not fair for all of basketball Twitter to get mad at him. But it to see him step on the court for your team is a lot like watching a cow give birth.
I'll take it. I mean, there's really no argument to be made with that.
You are easily the scariest North Carolina hoops fan I've ever been around because you're very knowledgeable about the Tar Heels. I could throw out probably any name and you could not only give me a scouting report on the guy, but probably tell me what classes he took when he was there.
African American studies.
Yeah, let's talk about Harrison Barnes.
Let's talk about Harrison
Barnes. Well, one, he detonated Nikola Pekovic the other day, and then Flex, which I feel bad because in 3 months he'll be dead.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
Yeah, he has no idea, and that's just rookie exuberance, and I get that, but it's a shame that he's...
Harrison. That is that total lack of like situational awareness there. That's very Harrison Barnes. That is like giving your girlfriend's dad a business card. And that is Harrison.
He's been pretty okay so far. There's some adjustments he needs to make here and there, but what's your take on how he's played for Golden State?
I kind of feel like it's just like he just should be a very high baseline guy.
Yeah.
Immediately. I don't know. I can't let my homerism cloud my prediction of the all NBA heights to which he'll ascend.
Sure.
He didn't play as big as he is at Carolina, really ever.
Right. Which was part of the problem, right? People wanted him to be Kobe Bryant, and I mean that was kind of unfairly, but that was kind of the scouting report coming out of high school was like, this guy is as good a scorer as we've seen.
Yeah, well, that night when I threatened your life for saying so, what were you? Bad Danny Granger was your comparison, right?
Yeah, I thought he would be bad Danny Granger. Here's the thing: you threatened my life simply if North Carolina was going to lose to Duke, and I wasn't even rooting for Duke. I had nothing. I was unfortunate enough to sit next to you during this game, and you said if Duke wins this game, you're dead. And it took me completely off guard.
Fun night. That was a really
fun night. Oh, it was a great night. Nothing gets your adrenaline pumping like a death threat.
That game, it's just because it had all the Roy Williams makings. They're up by, I don't know what, 15, 17 points with 11 minutes to go. And then they all just turn into traumatic brain incident victims. This is what happened just recently, the last Heels game. I didn't even watch the Chaminade game.
Really?
Because the Butler game. I just couldn't even.
Yeah, that was, I actually thought, I watched the second half of that game and thought, oh, Danny's going to be mad.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, because McAdoo is going to break my heart. I got to keep bigging him up for now, but I don't know about him. I don't know. Anyway, Harrison Barnes. Yeah. That dunk. I was shouting for 12 minutes straight.
Yeah, that was... I wasn't even watching the game at that point yet. I think I was writing something up on the Lakers game, and I was going to watch the Timberwolves game the next morning, and then all I saw was all these tweets about the dunk, so I went back and looked at it real quick, and good God.
What do you see him as needing to do? Like, what do you think he needs to...
I think there's
for Golden State.
I think there's an indecisiveness with his game offensively. There was actually a play when the Warriors were here in Minnesota, I think 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, something like that. And he had a play where he caught the ball on the perimeter and then like basically cut through the lane, drove, avoided two defenders and like split between them and laid it up and in. And that's what I want more from. It was a quick decision of I'm going to get to the basket. And I just don't see that enough with him where I actually think he has all the skill set. You know, people knocked his dribbling, his ball handling and his ability to really create, but I don't really think it's that big of a problem. I think he has it. I think it's a slow decision in his mind, which might just be he needs to slow down the game mentally to see all of the spots he has open. But it just seems like he has so many options to use, and he's timid for some reason. And that could just be inexperience.
No, I think that's a perceptive. I think that sums up his game well. Do you remember those 2 days after the combine where his vertical and like wingspan, everyone had like just rediscovered Harrison Barnes.
Right. It was like, oh my God, this guy's 41-inch vertical.
Right. I mean, he so rarely plays like that. I guess I it just would be difficult to be a guy for whom, like, I don't know, he's just treated the game like a given for like 3 years now. I don't know how you, this is what's vexing to me about Harrison, is I don't know how you make him more aggressive. I don't even think he doesn't understand the game. I just, or rather needs to slow it down. I think that, I don't know, there is that frustrating, like, he seems to feel fully formedness.
Right.
I don't know.
Do you think Mark Jackson's the guy to get that out of him?
Yeah, absolutely. He will give him like a page a day calendar with quotes from presidents.
Yeah, maybe that's the key. Maybe he just doesn't have enough day calendars.
Yeah. I don't know. I very much see Mark Jackson as having a quote a day, or like one of those rocks on his desk that is black on one side and white on the other.
Yeah. And he's got, I would say, like, he has a little bit of humbleness to him. He probably has a coffee mug that says, like, top four coach. Not world's number one coach, but just top four coach.
I think Harrison should be what they need from him. The rebounding is really encouraging.
Yeah.
I would have liked to know that he could rebound.
And defensively, I think he'll give him 3 years, and he'll just be incredible on the wing. Because he can defend inside and out.
Yeah, that was, you know, he did that in college sometimes.
Yeah,
it's not like he never defended, but he has everything he should need to be pretty disruptive.
How do we? I just want to ask you about two more North Carolina guys before I let you get back to doing some actual work. How do we get Sam Dallenberg off the Milwaukee Bucks so John Henson can play?
Dude,
because I was sold. I was never a John Henson guy, and then I went back and watched tape. I was like, all right, well, this guy isn't a center, but he can be like a really good forward. And then I saw him in Summer League, and like, oh, I love the way this guy moves. And now he's just buried in Scott Skiles.
Yeah, what did you not like about him? Just that he can't. I mean, seemingly do. I mean, like, he looks like the small forward version of a Sheik at first.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, I have my high butt theory. Guys with high butts aren't very successful. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar aside, like he's just guys with
how high John Henson's butt is. It's right under his shoulders.
Right, just under his shoulders. And that's the problem, is that he looks awkward, and I thought, this guy's not going to be a post player, but he's actually not a post player. He's a guy that's probably, I think David Thorpe said, this guy could be a poor man's Andre Kirilenko, or something along those lines, and I can actually see him as that type of a defender, in the sense of he's just floating around the half-court set, making plays.
I like the AK comparison, too, because Henson likes to pass.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's sort of a facile thing to say, he likes to pass, but you know, that's, he's going to be in places on the floor with his skill set where a second pass can be the way he moves. You know, when you got a cutter who can also pass, that's going to really, I think that puts a lot of stress on a defense.
Kendall Marshall, we need to talk about him before we go. That guy, you know, Summer League, what is whatever, like, you can't put a lot in Summer League, but he looked like he didn't even belong in Summer League. And he's had all these limitations, but people have talked about, doesn't matter, he can lead a team, he can pass, like that's going to be his skill in the NBA that gets him through, because he's such an elite passer and such a good floor general. Now, I don't expect him to get much playing time as a rookie in Phoenix, but do you believe that he will actually have a successful NBA career, whatever that means? I guess that's a pretty broad question.
Yeah, I gotta believe that he will. Just because he, you know, if nothing else, he's big, and he's good with his body in the lane. He's a smart finisher. He's not explosive.
Can he get to the lane though?
I don't see why not. I mean, look, if you wanna talk Harper butts, Kendall Marshall is really. I don't know why. I don't want to accuse you of being down on him. You know, whatever. I don't want to give you the hater treatment.
Oh no, I'm completely down on Kendall Marshall.
Yeah, you should like Kendall Marshall, Zach. He's just a butt extraordinaire.
Okay, he does have the potential for an Andre Miller derriere, but he doesn't know how to use it. That's what bothers me.
Yeah, I guess this is one of those things where I don't know why he should have such a successful NBA career, but I still have a hard time seeing him not. He's so smart that I have a hard time seeing him not figuring out ways to compensate for the physical difference between him and they're going to be huge. He's really slow.
Do you think that he's a future like starting point guard in the NBA, like perennially starting point guard, has that job locked up in the next 5 or 6 years? Or is he more of a backup?
I like him as I guess what would most teams probably would be most teams backup.
Yeah. Which I don't think there's any shame in that.
I think that old man game has become too meme-y.
Yeah.
As like a thing that people say about people, but he's really big. He's very slow footed. And the past several years have seen aging past first guards have kind of this defensive and ball mover role on two guard backcourts. And I think that a team who wanted that could do very well to play him, say, 24 minutes a game.
Okay. All right, I think that's fair. One quick prediction. North Carolina, are they winning the championship this year?
Going to the championship?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're winning it.
Okay.
It starts tonight when they detonate Indiana.
Okay. I will be sure to be nowhere near you in March then, sir.
No, they're not. I'm going Elite Eight with them.
Wow, you're looking at you with the reverse jinx.
Oh. Don't even. That hurts me as like for my loyalty. That I would be seen as doing that in public.
All right, Danny Nowell, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Zach.